Good morning, everyone. Everyone had a good week? That's good to hear. Good to see all your smiling faces in the house of the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. Give him praise. Give him glory. Whether you're having a good day or whether you're having a bad day, it's irrelevant because he is still God. He is still on the throne. Whether you're up or down doesn't change his position. He is rock solid. Praise him regardless. It's easy to praise him in the good times, but when things are going wrong and things are happening and your world's falling apart, keep on praising him. Hallelujah. Praise him every day. We were looking at Psalm 34 recently about praising him in all things. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I'm going to be looking at the life of Gideon. Or the story of Gideon. Now, Gideon's a very inspiring story. Now, the reason we look at Bible stories is for our own life, for our own encouragement. It's not a history lesson. It's a lesson looking to the future. How can you use this to change your life? How can you use this to keep your focus on God? The stories are there for us to benefit from. And we need to draw life from what we hear. Draw life from the Word. Draw experience from the Word. Look at the characters. What do they do right? What do they do wrong? How can this help my walk with God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, we know that with the Israelites, how they were brought out of Egypt, and Moses led them out of Egypt. And God did miraculous signs and wonders by his mighty hand. And even after they'd come out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they were mingling with other gods. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain and he was up there for 40 days. And they said, "What's become of him? Aaron, you be our leader. We put all the gold in the fire and a golden calf comes out." Just like that. So before you know it, they're worshipping this golden calf. And God says, "Moses, get down. Those people that you brought out are corrupt. Get out and sort them out." So, and then not long after that, they're bringing the Moabite women into the camp. And God calls them again to repentance. And there's a plague sweeping throughout the camp. And even during this time, when they're getting called to repentance, they're at the tent of meeting, and they're weeping and mourning, there's this guy bringing a Moabite woman into the camp, into his tent, right in view of everyone in broad daylight. So Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron the priest, grabs his javelin, follows them into the tent, and spears them right through the man and through the stomach of the woman. So that tells you that they were there in the act, because it went through both of them and through her stomach. And the plague stopped. But, you know, we know that the Moabites and the temple of Baal and Baal worship was a very big thing in that time. And they kept tripping up. They would come to repentance, and that they would go back again, and they would get their lives on track, and they would fall back again. But that same spirit is alive today. That same spirit it was always tempting the church back then, or the people of God, and they were falling, and they would come back. Remember in Kings, Elijah. And there was a king, Ahab, who was the most wicked king in history. And his wife was Jezebel. And they had the 450 prophets of Baal. Now, the Baal worship, it was very sexualized, which we're finding that today. Like the rise of pornography, the rise of child, like we were hearing last night about child trafficking. people are not getting married anymore, they're just living together. That whole thing is on the rise again. And also, they were offering in Moabites or in the Moab or Baal the child sacrifice. Now, you know, we might not be burning our children on the altar, but how many children are being aborted each year? Not thousands, millions. So there's child sacrifice, there's pornography, there's all this rise and rise and rise again, and like you were saying, it's happening very quickly. So the church, we need to choose you this day whom you will serve, because just as they were brought out of darkness, they were brought out of Egypt, they were very quick to turn back. We've been brought out of Egypt, we've been brought out of darkness, but are we drawn back? Are we tempted? Are we drawn by the lust of the flesh? Because that is a trap, and it's the end is death. Hallelujah. And you know, with Elijah, he says, well, look, you know, we're building, you prophets of Baal build an altar, I'll build an altar to God. And then he says, we'll call down fire from heaven. And you know, he had a bit of fun that day. He says, maybe he's awake, call a bit louder, maybe he's asleep. And they were ranting and raving and cutting themselves. That's another thing, like people self-harming. That's a Baal thing, self-harming. That's what they used to do. Anyway, at the end of the day, no fire, nothing. And Elijah's one word and boom, the rocks, everything got eaten up with the fire. And then you think, well, you know, that's the end of it because they've killed the 450 prophets of Baal. But you read on another few chapters, it's back again. So it's going on and on and on. Anyway, with the story of Gideon, so they're in the land of Canaan, they're in the promised land that God has given them, and it says that there was evil in the land for 7 years, that God had given them over to the Midianites because they turned from God and they were worshipping Baal. So they turned from God, they were worshipping Baal, and they were heavily oppressed by the Midianites. And not only the Midianites, but the Amorites and all these eastern countries. They said every year, just before harvest time, so the Israelites would grow their crops, would get everything ready for harvest, and before the crops were ready, the Midianites and the Amorites and all those other people would come in like swarms of locusts. They would just invade the land and destroy everything. They'd kill the animals, they'd destroy the crops, and they were heavily oppressed. And after 7 years of this, they cried out to God. So 7 years is a long time to be heavily oppressed, but it took that long and they cried out to God. And God sent a prophet, and the prophet said, look, I've brought you out of Egypt. I've given you this land. I've defeated your enemies. I've commanded you not to worship foreign gods, but you did not listen. So they're getting a word of correction. You did not listen. And then after the prophet gave the word of the Lord, there was an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon while he's in the wine press threshing out the grain, because they're hiding from the invaders. They don't want, you know, they're trying to be a bit sneaky and get a bit of grain without it getting destroyed. And the angel of the Lord said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, excuse me, who you're talking to? And he said, I will use you to deliver the Israelites from Midian. And Gideon said, no, my clan is the weakest in Israel. I'm the least of my family. He was from Manasseh, which is not even a full tribe. He's from the half tribe of Manasseh. His clan's the weakest. He's the youngest in his family. So, you know, God doesn't look for the big people. He looks for the small ones. And he says, "You mighty man of valor." Now, he didn't see himself as a mighty man of valor. He saw himself as nothing. And he pointed out to God. What is God saying to you? What's God saying to you? Does your words line up? Or are you saying, oh, sorry, God, you've got it wrong. Like, not me. God sees you at what you can be. God doesn't look at who you were or who you are today. God looks at what you can be. He sees the potential in you. He sees what's inside of you. And he says, "You mighty man of valor." Gideon couldn't see it. And he says, "I will use you to deliver Israel from the Midianites." And then he says, "Well, let me go and make bring you a sacrifice." So he goes and prepares a young goat, makes up some broth, makes a loaf of bread, brings it out to the angel. And the angel said, "Place it there on the rock." And he takes his staff and he just touches it with the tip of his staff, and whoom, a massive fire. It said it consumed, there was nothing left. It wasn't just cooked. It wasn't just ashes, it was gone. It was shoom, a huge fire just consumed it. Now, you think that would be enough. But we're all people and we're all, you know, our minds think. So don't think you'd be any different. Anyway, he gives him the word of the Lord that you are going to deliver the people. I'm going to use you to deliver the people. So he calls them to arms. He puts out a word of call to arms, and they gather in 32,000 people. Now, 32,000 is quite a crowd, but the Midianites, they're like swarms of locusts. It says you can't even count the amount of camels they got. So 32,000 is still a small number. And then Gideon's still thinking in his head. And he says, "God, if this is right, I want to put a fleece out. I want to put a fleece out. And if it's you, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry." So he gets a fleece of wool, puts it on the threshing floor, and in the morning he gets up, the ground's all dry, he picks up the fleece and he wrings a whole bowl of water out of this fleece, saturated. And he said, and then he says, "Please don't be angry, Lord, but pardon me, can I just another test, just to make sure, can I do it again tonight, but this time I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet." God says, "Okay, we can do it again. We can do it again." Put the fleece out, and sure enough, the fleece is dry and the ground is soaking wet. So they get all the guys together, and meanwhile, the Midianites have crossed the Jordan, as they do every year. They're ready for their annual raid. They're ready for this cakewalk, because what does it say? It says the Israelites were terrified. They would go and hide in the mountains. They would hide in the caves, in the clefts of the rocks. They would take off. There was no fight. There wasn't a battle. The Midianites came in, had their way, just raped and pillaged and wrecked everything they found. And the Israelites were hiding up in the caves in the mountains. And this was an annual event. So they've got their big camp, and it says there was about 135,000 men come to raid Israel. Now, who's been to Optus Stadium? Now, Optus Stadium is about 60,000 people, so if you imagine that full to capacity twice, plus RAC Stadium full capacity, all those people together is about how many soldiers the Midianites had. And Gideon had 32,000. So he was already outnumbered over 4 to 1. So it's not very good odds. But God said to him, you've got too many men. And he's thinking, what are you talking about? I need another 100,000. You've got too many men. I don't want you to be able to say that you won this battle. I don't want anyone saying, you know, it was the hand of Gideon. This is the hand of God. He said, we've got to thin it out a bit. So he said, go to them and say, whoever is afraid can go home. So he's got 32,000. He says, okay, whoever is afraid can go home. 22,000. 23,000, boom, out the door. He's got 10,000 left. You know, he's okay, 10,000. God said, you've got too many. He's thinking, what? Too many? 10,000 against 135,000. You've got too many. Send them down to the spring, because they were by the spring. He said, get them all to have a drink of water. He said, those that kneel down on all fours and drink straight from the water, and the other ones who cup it in their mouth and bring it up. He said, I'm going to separate them. So the ones that cupped it in their hand and brought it up to their mouth was only 300. And all the other 10,000, or almost 10,000, send them home. So he's got 300 men against a swarm of locusts that you can't even count, who've been coming in every year and raiding the country, and they've been running up and hiding in the mountains. But God says, I will be with you. But you know, it's the next thing he said, if you are afraid, take your servant, go down to the camp. So sure enough, he took his servant because he was afraid. He was afraid. He was terrified. He was probably thinking, this is my last night on earth. We've got 300 guys here. In the morning, there's going to be 300 corpses. But God had a plan. Even though he didn't see it, he had no faith. God says, take your servant and go down to the camp. Now, it's a huge camp. They've got heaps of, like it says, their camels are without number. Now, camels are noisy animals. 135,000 people are going to be quite noisy. There would have been fires everywhere because they would have been keeping the fires burning at night. So, but he got close enough to hear two guys talking. Now, they weren't talking with microphones. They were talking to each other. So he must have been, I don't know how he did it, what cover there was, but he got pretty close to the camp, and he heard these two guys talking. But God ordained this. God ordained it to give him courage. And one guy said to the other guy, I've just had a dream, because it's the middle of the night, it's just on the second watch, the dream must have woken him up, and he's talking to his mate. He said, I just had a dream that there was a loaf of bread, barley bread, came rolling down, hit the camp or hit the tent of the Midianites and completely overturned it and destroyed it. But what the other guy said, he said, surely that is the hand of Gideon who has come to destroy us. So that was God. God put those words in his mouth. And Gideon was encouraged. He was encouraged. So he goes back to his 300 guys. He's been encouraged by the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord's come through the enemy. So you can hear the word of the Lord anywhere. You just got to have a ear, and be in the right spot. I mean, it might be a dangerous spot. It might be on the edge of the enemy's camp and about to lose your head. But he was there and he heard it. So he gets back up to the camp in the middle of the night. I missed a bit out, so I'll just pause it there. When God first called him, he said, to destroy the altar of Baal and the Asherah pole. And it was his father's. So it was his father's altar and his father's pole. So in the middle of the night, he takes 10 servants and they go and destroy the altar of Baal and they destroy the pole. And he tears down the pole and he uses it as he builds an altar and sacrifices a bull on the altar. The next morning, they get up, the altar's destroyed, or the altar of Baal's destroyed, there's a fresh altar built, and they're all outraged. The town is outraged. They said, who did this? And they were investigating to find out it was Gideon. So they all front up at Gideon's house. Dad comes out, and they said, send him over, we've got to kill him. He said, what for? Like, if Baal is God, surely he can defend himself. Why are you fighting for him? If he's God, he'll do it by himself. Anyway, so it all settled down, and there was nothing came of it. But so Gideon does his best work at night. So he destroyed the altar at night. He takes on the Midianites in the middle of the night. So he gives them all an empty vessel, a clay vessel, a torch in their left hand, and a trumpet in their right hand. And he said, watch me and do as I do. And he splits them into three groups. There was 300, so he splits them into the groups of 100 men each. Now, three talks of Godhead, talks of unity, and he split them into three to attack the enemy's camp. Well, actually, not even to attack the enemy's camp. So they put the torch inside the empty vessel, so you can't see the flame. They carry the trumpet, and they position themselves around the camp in groups of 100. And then they're looking and watching for what Gideon will do. He smashes the clay vessel, holds up the torch, and blows the trumpet. And they all do the same. So there's a noise, there's fire, there's trumpet sounding, and God sent confusion into the enemy's camp. And he made them turn upon one another. So they were attacking each other with their swords, while Gideon and his men are standing on the hills blowing the trumpet and holding their torch. They didn't have a sword. God did it. So he brought so much confusion, they thought that the mate who told his mate the dream must have thought he's now the enemy, pulls out the sword, and they're killing each other. 120,000 fell. So most of them were killed right there and then. And then the few that were, well, the 15,000 that were left, they took off. And Gideon then calls for his backup, all the guys that he sent home who were scared, all the guys that didn't drink properly. Come and help, come and help. So they start, they're pursuing and chasing the remnant. And they finally caught up with them. Well, actually, on the way, they were going through a couple of towns. There was one town called Succoth, and he said, look, my men are very hungry. Give us some bread to eat that we may keep pursuing the kings. And he says, well, where have you got the kings in your hand? Are they under your control? These guys are having an each-way bet. They think, well, hang on, if Gideon gets wiped out and we support him, it'll be off with our heads. So no, we've got nothing for you. And now you think Gideon would understand that because he was pretty scared himself. I mean, how many times did he test God? But he says to them, when I defeat the kings, I'm going to come back and tear your flesh apart with thorns and briars from the desert. He goes on a bit further, comes to another town, Peniel. He says the same thing. Give us some bread to eat. And they said, well, have you got the kings here in your control? No. When I come back, I'm going to destroy your tower. He catches these kings. Well, the army chases them down. They kill off the rest of the army, capture the two kings, and he's bringing them back. he gets back to these towns. But not only did he burn the tower, it said he killed all the men. So this is his own people. So he's pretty ruthless. So it sort of shows you a bit about what Gideon was like. Like he was the smallest man, maybe not the smallest man, but he was the least of the least of the least. Maybe he was on a bit of a power trip, because it said he killed all the men. And then he said to the kings, "What type of men did you kill?" And they said, "Men just like you." He said, "Well, they were my brothers, my mother's sons." He said, "If you hadn't killed them, I would have spared your life." He'd already been commanded by God to wipe out the Midianites. And he's saying to these kings, who were the leaders, "If you hadn't killed my brothers, I would have spared you." So, disobedience to God's word. He was willing to let them live if they hadn't harmed his family. But because they had, he said to his youngest, or to his oldest son, "Take your sword and go and kill him." But the oldest son was still only a lad. He was a bit scared, so he didn't do it. So Gideon himself went up and slew them with the sword. But he was willing to let the enemy live. He was willing to let the enemy live if the enemy didn't harm his family. But it doesn't work like that. Don't let, even if the enemy's not even touching you, have nothing to do with him. Don't make any deals with the devil. Because his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's a master of disguise. He's a master of trickery. He'll look like an angel when he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't trust him as far as you can throw him. So after Gideon defeats all the armies, and remember it was God, it wasn't Gideon. I mean, they just stood there blowing the trumpet and 120,000 kill each other. The men of God's, well, not the men, the men of Gideon's, or the men of the land, says, "We want to make you king because you have saved us from the Midianites. You have saved us." They weren't giving honor to God. They wanted to give honor to Gideon. Anyway, he says, "No, I will not rule over you. God will rule over you. God will rule over you. Submit yourself to God." But then he says, "Give us an offering. Give us all the," because they'd plundered everything. He said, give us all the gold earrings." So they lay out a garment and they throw all the gold earrings. And it says there was 17,000 shekels or something, but I'll look it up. It's 40 kilos of gold. So 40 kilos is a lot of gold. And they throw this down for Gideon. And what does he do? He makes an idol of an ephod. He sets it up and they're all bowing down and worshipping. And it said it became a snare to Gideon and his family. So he's still, you know, he can hear God very clearly. Because even when he's talking about the fleece and you know, drinking from the spring, he obviously hears God very well. But hearing and understanding and following is a different story. So he's still getting, he doesn't want to be king, but he wants the trappings of a king. He wants, like it says that he takes the gold, when he kills the kings, he takes the gold crests off their camels, like the royal harnesses, all the trimmings, the royal robes, all the purple. And we know further on, he went on to have 70 sons. Now, if he's got 70 sons, you can probably assume he's got maybe 70 daughters, which he's probably got maybe 40 or 50 wives. So he's living like a king. He's happy to take all the money. But it did say that there was peace in the land. But he had a son to a woman who was still in the eastern countries, Abimelech. Now, Abimelech means son of a king. So he's happy to name his son of a king, even though he wasn't the king. But how much trouble was there in his family further on? How much trouble was in that? That family was a mess. So Abimelech, who's living in Shechem, to daughter of this concubine, or a child of this concubine, says to all the people there, why should we follow all these other sons of Gideon? We need to be the ones in control. Why should we bow down to all them? And he gets all the guys on board. They all say, yeah, that's a good idea. You're our people. Like, you were born here. You're one of us. What do? Wipe them all out. One of the brothers kills 70 of his brothers in one day. So, just because your father did a mighty thing, every day there's a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And the temptations are always there. The temptations are there every day. Every day, what will you choose? Don't let your past determine your future. Don't let your past say, well, that's where I've come from, this is where I'm going. God sees potential. God sees potential in you. He can touch your heart. He can change you. He can renew your mind. He can give you a fresh hope and a new start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you can give a fresh start. And Lord, I ask that our ears would be open, that we would hear your word, that we would hear your word, that we would know and trust and obey. Lord, that we would not hear your word and turn to the left, or hear your word and turn to the right, but we would hear your word and follow after you. Lord, we know that your word is a lamp unto our path and a light. Lord, each day I pray that we read your word. Each day that your word would illuminate our path. Each day your word would show us which way to turn, to the left or to the right. And Lord, I pray that each day that we would bless you in the good and in the bad. Even if things are not going well, that we would bless you. And Lord, we know that the afflictions of the righteous are many, but you deliver. Lord, we know that Israel was afflicted because they turned from you. They thought that God had forsaken them, but they had forsaken God. God doesn't forsake his people. You can turn your back on God and he might hand you over, but he doesn't forsake you. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, today I pray that as a people that we would stand strong, that as a people that we would serve, that as a people that we would trust and obey. Thank you, Father. Lord, we commit this day, we commit this week, we commit this year into your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Would anyone like prayer this morning? Prayer to stand, spread, prayer to fight, prayer not to live in fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give you glory, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Marus kirabashate setiando de bosura baba badiandi de ba. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You're a good God. Hallelujah. Mandoshi karababuru sitete ribiandi de ba. We thank and bless and praise your holy name. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Rabakuti siliando satada bashiti didibiandi de bababa. Oh, the power of your Spirit. Holy Ghost, we thank you, Lord, your deliverer. You're the healer. You're the God that sets a captive free. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, you put a sure word in our hearts and our mouths.